It's interesting because I like to tell people I make pretty things. I'm an artist. I make pretty things. I never thought I would be in a position where I would work for a company where A, I would get to share my knowledge and B, teach a tool that has a positive effect on the entire world, on the globe. People that are not as deep in the industry as you and I are don't realize that fashion is like the second most harmful industry.
Voices with value, stories with soul, tools for transformation. Innovate so you do not stagnate. This is Innovation Insights.
Welcome to another episode of Innovation Insights, where we dive deep into the minds shaping the future of industries through innovation, creativity, and groundbreaking research. We believe that innovation happens in all aspects of life. I am your host, Dr. Yolanda Sanders. Today, we have an extraordinary guest who has seamlessly blended traditional artistry with cutting-edge digital innovation. Joining us is Jim Simon, a visionary in the world of 3D design and digital fashion technology.
Jim's journey is inspiring. From a childhood filled with drawing and creative exploration to a career that has spanned fine arts, graphic design, and textile innovation, Jim's career took him from New York's Fashion District, where he designed prints for major brands like Nicole Miller, to the forefront of digital transformation in design. With a bachelor's degree in fine arts from the Heron School of Art, Jim's career took him from New York's Fashion District, where he designed prints for major brands like Nicole Miller, to the forefront of digital transformation in design. Jim is a 3D design and implementation specialist and academic lead at CLO, where he trains and supports instructors and professionals in the next generation of fashion technology. Passionate about education, innovation, and the intersection of art and technology, Jim has spent years teaching and developing new ways to integrate traditional drawing techniques with digital tools. His experience and insights are invaluable to those looking to navigate the ever-evolving design and technology landscape. In today's conversation, we will explore Jim's incredible career path, the impact of 3D technology on the fashion industry, and his philosophy on learning, teaching, and continuous creative evolution. Whether you are a designer, educator, or innovator, this episode will inspire you to embrace technology as a tool to expand creativity.
Jim, welcome to the Innovation Insights podcast. I'm so happy to have you here.
I am very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, we got connected, it seems, through mutual friends or connections, business connections. Another podcast guest, Dr. Carrie McBee Black, and we saw that podcast and then we talked, and I'm so glad that we are starting this collaboration and featuring the work that you're doing and your company, CLO.
Yes, Carrie has been a very strong supporter of CLO, and she does amazing work. For any of you that haven't watched her version of the podcast, please go do that because she talks about some amazing things. I appreciate the time with you, and I'm looking forward to sharing a number of things with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I mean, you are creative, and you've been drawing since age two. And now you're working in, you know, a 3D area. So what drew you to follow such a creative journey in your life?
As you mentioned, I've been an artist literally all my life. And it was the one thing that I could do. I could pick up a pencil and put it to paper. And as I got further into my career, I realized that more than anything, I was a creative problem solver, and a creative problem solver should use all the tools that are available to them. So when the option came to start working with a computer, although I was hesitant at first, I'm an artist, I'm a traditional artist, I thought this is an exciting tool that could allow me to do some exciting things. And that led me to doing designing on the computer, and then ultimately into exploring 3D, and then being introduced to Clo 3D. And that's a short story about how I ended up in the 3D digital realm.
Well, let's go back a little bit, because you said you're an artist, you're a traditional artist. What mediums do you work in?
I have a bachelor's degree in fine arts with a major in painting. All the other things that go along with that, drawing, I even did sculpture, ceramics, photography. I'm a firm believer in that a creative, for me, is someone that expresses themselves. The idea of any type of tool, pencil, paintbrush, airbrush, computer, Wacom pen, whatever it is, you should use it if it helps you express yourself.
I agree. And I think that also relates to what's happening with AI currently. A lot of people are pushing back on that. But so what are your thoughts on that?
Sure. I try to keep an open mind about everything personally. As it relates to the use of AI or machine learning in Clo, Clo will never take the creativity away from the designer. Okay. What Clo is hoping to do with AI is accelerate those time-consuming, repetitive tasks, which then frees up the designers to do more designing. And based on the things that are already in Clo, and there's quite a few tools in there that use machine learning and AI to help designers in Clo, there's a lot of really exciting things coming up for the versions of Clo due out in the next year or so.
We'll have to have you back to talk about
those. Yes, so maybe we need to do, we'll have a follow-up about AI and Clo, or again, machine learning, depending upon how you think about it, to show you how Clo can help you as a designer move forward.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, okay, I'm flipping back and forth a little bit, but you're thinking about what you're talking about, designers and the tools that they need and technology. You studied at the Heron School of Art. I'm sure that you had the elements and principles of design drilled into you over the years. And having taught design for a large part of my career, you know, there's always been discussion back and forth. Oh, are they needed to be taught, or should we teach them something else? What are your thoughts on those foundations and then being able to use them to move into working with technology?
That's a really good question. I'm a firm believer that people can be taught the creative skills if they want to learn them. Drawing, painting, understanding how to compose a photograph or a design in a computer. Creativity is a little bit more difficult. I think that needs a lot of study. And even looking into the philosophical aspect of it about being creative. I think anybody can learn to draw. I'm not sure that anybody can learn to be a designer. But that being said, anybody that wants to do anything bad enough, I think they can achieve that. So I think that those tools, design tools, are important to be learned. With the help of AI, and I was having a discussion with colleagues yesterday about this, I think that AI opens up the realm to people that are not designers and have a difficult time with it, who may want to express themselves. So again, I have an open mind. Let anybody try. And as educators, I think that, I know that my philosophy has always been, if I have something that you want to know and you're willing to learn, I'm more than happy to teach you. And I think that's what we all share as educators, the ability to, or the desire to share with those who want to learn. So I think anybody who wants to design in any way should find resources to learn, whether that is a teacher or otherwise, and always improve themselves.
Oh, I so appreciate your comments. And as an educator, I used to teach creativity courses. And there's a reason why this business and this podcast is named Innovation Insights versus Creativity Insights. And I think you hit that key part about that innate part of creativity. So you initially studied painting, but you ended up in fashion. So how did that happen?
this is a great story. Okay. I moved to New York at the time, and I always like to tell the story. I was going to be a rock star. Okay. One of the ways I was expressing myself was through music. So I moved to New York to be a rock star. That didn't work out, obviously, which is fine. And I started working in an art supply store on 7th Avenue here in New York City. And I was selling art supplies, standard art supply, illustration boards, markers, pencils, to the designers in the fashion industry on 7th Avenue. And one of the design houses was Nicole Miller. And so I got to know them really well. And they said, do you do painting and drawing? I said, sure. And they said, do you want to try designing prints for Nicole Miller? And so I did hand-painted designs for Nicole Miller for a period in time. And I did like 5 or 6 of them. And if you look up vintage Nicole Miller neckties from the 90s, you're going to stumble across 1 or 2 of the designs. That then led to me, for a very, very short period of time, I had a design studio with a friend, and she had a computer. So I taught myself the computer. I had never used a computer. I didn't know what to do after you opened it. But I taught myself the Adobe applications, because back then, this is before YouTube, right? So there wasn't really any place to learn. So I taught myself Illustrator. And then sometime later, I ended up going to work for one of the companies that I would sell art supplies to. They had a large design studio, and I went to work for them doing designing on the computer. And I was there for 20 years and learned a ton about the fashion industry and home and interiors. And that's how I got started in this industry. I am not a fashion designer, but I was doing all kinds of textile prints. I was drawing flats and illustrations and doing mood boards and presentations and things like that. That led to a colleague there at that design studio said, hey, have you ever considered teaching? And at the company, I had been kind of the de facto person that would answer questions that the other designers had. She was like, you're really good around here. Maybe you should teach. So I got connected to the head of the department at Parsons School of Fashion. And that was 20 years ago. So I started at Parsons Fashion, teaching at the time the latest technology tool in fashion, which was drawing flats in Adobe Illustrator. 20 years later now, or 15 years later, I'm introduced to CLO by a colleague who went to at the time they called them academic summits, and they held them at schools to get instructors to come. And after she went to this, she came back with this flash drive, and she's like, Jim, you have to look at this. She was not a technology person. And she said, but you have to look at this, Jim. And I did, and I was blown away. And on that flash drive was CLO. So I taught myself CLO. And then I thought, I wonder if CLO has a position open here in New York. And this is the fall of 2019. And so I said, why not? And so I put in an application. After a series of interviews, I started CLO in February of 2020.
Wow, right. That's right. Pandemic launching.
Yes.
Off.
Yes. Yeah. And at the time, we didn't have an academic specific lead, which I am now with CLO. I love being able to meet and work with people such as yourself and Carrie McBee Black. So what happened was, after about a year, they said, Jim, what do you think about being the academic lead? since you have experience teaching and you've worked with universities. And I said, it only makes sense. I said, because I know how schools work, dealing with administration, things like that. I had been previously creating projects and curriculums and things like that for the classes. And full circle now, Chloe 3D, I will be very not specific about this. I'll be very open to the idea. 3D is now the latest technology for the fashion industry. Okay. Yes, we believe Chloe is the best option, but 3D as a whole is something that I can see the parallels between 3D and learning to do flats in Adobe Illustrator. Okay. There was resistance back then for Adobe Illustrator, right? You know, oh, how could you do that? Flats, hand-drawn flats have more flavor, more personality. But once you understood how it improved your workflow, you were like, you know what? This is a tool that I should know. And now it's ubiquitous, right? So we think Chloe is that tool which will help all designers, new, established, whatever, to improve their workflow. Not replace anybody, because the creative skills that go into it, whether it's the designing skills or it's pattern making or garment construction, those are paramount to succeeding with Chloe. You can't understand the fit of a garment virtually if you can't understand it in real life. So Chloe, we feel, is the most accessible, easiest tool to help the designer move into the 3D format. And of course, the whole environmental cause that's behind it is so huge. And that is one of the things that makes me love Chloe, that not only am I getting to share this amazing tool, but I'm getting to help the planet, which is something I never thought I'd do. So it's not about just the tool, it's about the whole thing and how seeing where it fits into the entire workflow for the designer.
Well, there's so much to unpack there. Okay, well, first I want to go back to the pandemic. I might be the only person on the planet that wants
to
go back.
No, that's okay.
But I want to go back because I know what it was like from an administrative side, because I was at a department chair at that time, and with a program that had a fashion program where we were trying to teach students how to be fashion designers. And I had been involved. I had taught Illustrator distance since, I don't know, 2003 or something like that. But I wasn't directly doing this or implementing it because I was doing other administrative things, but I had faculty that I know. And so I'd like to hear about what was it like on your side, because you're new into this position, new at this company, and then you probably have faculty from all over the world, like,
help, we need to teach fashion design and pattern making. Yeah. We need to have a fashion show too. Can we do that with your...
Yes, it was incredibly interesting because there were two things that happened. Businesses said, what are we going to do? Okay, how are we going to continue what we're doing? We need something virtual that we can do. So businesses needed Chloe. Businesses needed 3D. Okay. Then the businesses wanted designers who knew 3D. Okay. So schools were then reaching out and saying, how can we use your tool in a way that will help continue what we're doing in person? Then throw in the idea that we had never done virtual meetings or trainings. So we had to figure that out as well. So, it was a steep learning curve, but one of the things I love about Chloe is that all the way up, everybody in the company knows we're allowed to go and we're allowed to try something to see if it works. If it does, great. Let's all use it. And if it doesn't, we'll learn from it. Okay. We don't think of mistakes. We think of it as learning. So we started to work with Zoom. We started to be in contact with schools. We then started to have large trainings of individual professors all in the same virtual meeting. And it slowly started to grow. And so both halves of it, academia and the industry, started to see, hey, this tool can work for us. Because the thing I think that people are afraid of is they think that making goes away, but it doesn't. Clo's just going to help you get to the point where when you make your prototype, you're not going to make four or five of them. You're going to make one, and it's probably going to be fit enough where it will work. So there was that apprehension at first with instructors who weren't excited about using technology, and then also the designers in the industry. So there was education about that as well. Needless to say, things were crazy for the first, 6 to 8 months as we were in lockdown. And then we smoothed it out a little bit, and I think we did a great job. I had lots of help with fellow Clo designers, but the pandemic showed people that you should use all the tools that are available to you. And I don't see it as, it was a bonus for our company. I see it as just be open to all kinds of tools because they might be the solution you're looking for.
I think that's such a great way to reflect on it, because there are so many lessons that we learned from the pandemic. And I think one of those too is embrace the tools that we have. There are different ways of doing things that we can get things done. And so thank you for that.
Sure.
Would you talk a little bit more about Clo, in case there's members of our audience that don't really even know what is Clo and what's this whole 3D, Clo 3D, and what
sure.
is it?
Sure. Here's how I like to tell people about what Clo can do for you. So I get a question from instructors when the students say, okay, I sat down in front of a Clo. What does Clo do for me? Okay. The idea in Clo is that you can start with a blank workspace. And if you have a vision about how to create pattern pieces and then a real world prototype with, and it's a very straightforward workflow. You have a blank project, you add an avatar, you draft or import patterns, you arrange them around the avatar, you sew them, you edit the patterns, you add details, and you can visualize your garment. The technology in Clo is the same technology as in our sister software, which is Marvelous Designer. Why do I bring this up? Well, everyone has seen how Marvelous Designer is used because Marvelous Designer is in every Marvel movie. It's in all EA sports games. The Lord of the Rings was made using Marvelous Designer to virtualize garments in the CG and gaming industries. And Clo does the similar thing with specific tools geared towards fashion. So you can have an avatar that is the size of your fit model and visualize your garment so that when you create your prototype, you already have bypassed any need for multiple physical samples. You haven't had to ship anything from Asia. You haven't had to bring in other people and measure and make changes. It can all be done virtually. We have companies telling us that they are removing 3 and 4 layers of prototyping and saving hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, by using this technology. The money alone is a huge thing, but then think of the waste that is no longer there. You're affecting the environment. So you can save money. You can have a positive effect on the environment. you can make changes very quickly. I think those things enough are worth the investment that you make in not only training designers going out into the industry who can help change the way the industry works, but then the industry can use it to shape their own business and the world at large.
Absolutely. And this, what you spoke to relates to being able to work in a position that is changing the world and the sustainability part of it and the cut down of production time and the reduction of waste, the amount of samples. For those of you in the audience that aren't part of the apparel industry, the amount of samples and prototypes that are often created. So if you look at your jeans that you have, there might be in the past 5 or 6 prototypes at least created, and some done globally in other countries, having to be shipped to the headquarters or to wherever the design team is for fitting and changes being made. And so to be able to make some of those decisions and changes in a 3D space is incredible.
It's interesting because I like to tell people I make pretty things. I'm an artist. I make pretty things. I never thought I would be in a position where I would work for a company where A, I would get to share my knowledge and B, teach a tool that has a positive effect on the entire world, on the globe. People that are not as deep in the industry as you and I are don't realize that fashion is like the second most harmful industry in the world behind oil production. Because of all the waste of the samples, and you're shipping things overnight on planes and boats, and then you're making tons of garments that don't get bought, and they're being dumped in a waste dump. This is big. This is globally changing our world.
Well, absolutely. In one of my, I'm like a cat. I've had like 9 lives, and 11. One of those lives. On the production pattern maker, which it would be considered probably a technical designer today. I mean, this is how old I am. I'm before some labels of jobs. But what we would do, there'd be 3 of us that would hand cut patterns for full size range of patterns, hand cut them, get them ready to ship out every day by, I think it was 3 o'clock that we had. So you think about just one, the amount of physical labor. One, I was exhausted usually by 4 o'clock because it was just the stress of trying to get these done, hand cutting all of these in a size like from 0 to, we unfortunately had a really limited size range at that time, not very inclusive. I think we went up to 18 maybe. And so, but creating all of that for jeans, which have a lot of pieces.
And denim is like the worst fabric to make in terms of consumption. So, yeah. And that's the other, you're talking about cutting patterns for a whole size range. Clo can do that for you. You can have a whole size range in Clo, put them on sized avatars and view them all right next to each other to see how they all fit. Yes, you're going to have. Yeah, that's something. Yeah, that's something you probably thought, oh, that'll never happen.
Okay, well, one reason why was because I used to be a fit model in a younger, thinner life for the same company. And so the basis of the fit of these jeans, or if Yolanda complained that they were too tight. At that point, I think it was a size 6. So size 6 Yolanda complained that they were too tight. So they were probably really squeezing me into a size 4. And then the whole size range then was based on it's Yolanda's preference.
the Yolanda factor.
Yeah, yeah. So, what you're saying now, to be able to prototype these and see them and look at pocket placement, design line, seam placement on a variety of sizes is so important.
Very much so. Absolutely. I never thought I'd be, you know, again, I said, I make pretty things. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a philanthropist. I'm not a lawyer. What can I give back to the world? I can make pretty things. That's one of the inspirations behind teaching, is that I can give that back. And again, full circle, I'm having a positive effect on the environment. Huge, huge thing. And very important to us here at CLO. It is one of our missions to do this.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for doing that. And as you mentioned, you are a teacher, you're an educator, and you're at both sides. You're directly working with students in some cases, but then you're also educating educators.
Right.
And so what are some of the challenges that instructors and faculty face incorporating 3D technology into their programs and curriculum?
Honestly, I think the biggest challenge is the apprehension of those who have experience in the industry. Instructors at fashion schools are usually, in most cases, adjunct professors who are still working in fashion in some way. So there's a apprehension because there's a misunderstanding as to what exactly CLO does. So one of the things that is most important for me is that when I'm teaching a group of new instructors, and I don't know how else to say this, they're old like me and like, you know, they're of our generation, okay? They're apprehensive because A, technology can be challenging for them. I love technology. You love technology, but some people don't, and that's fine. And they also think that CLO is something that's going to replace them. And I said this before, CLO is just a tool. Without their knowledge, this tool is not, you can't fix whatever you're trying to fix with this tool. So when I have these instructors, I say to them, please share with me how we would do this in the real world. And I'll show you how to parallel that to what we're doing with these virtual tools. I said, because when CLO got started, they spent so much time asking designers, what do you need to make this work for you? Without true real life designers, technical designers, CLO wouldn't be where it is today. So it's that knowledge that is most important. And that's usually the biggest hurdle that I have to overcome. The resistance to technology and the worry that it is a replacement for who they are. And once I get past that, I think that it becomes a very symbiotic relationship. They share with me, I share with them, and I can understand, I have them teach me because I am not a fashion designer or pattern maker. So I have worked with a couple pattern makers in the past. We have other designers at CLO that are very good with pattern making. So I have resources, but I have them teach me as I'm teaching them and saying, this is how you would add a dart here in CLO. And this is why in CLO, it doesn't keep the fabric. It cuts the fabric when you make a dart. But here's how we put that. And they go, and then they say, oh, okay, I understand. So that's the biggest challenge. And I'm humbled to say in most cases, I'm able to get them past that because I get it. Not everyone has the same understanding as I do. And it's my job to help them succeed. And I will be with them every step of the way. When you purchase a license with CLO, whether it is for an academic institution or an industry partner or an enterprise client, what you really get is our full support. We're here to help you every step of the way. I'm a bit obsessive about answering emails. I like to keep that. I don't like to see that red dot on my email that I've got something there. So I always answer almost right away just so that I don't forget. Right. And that to me is the thing. People think, Jim, you don't have to do that. I'm like, I do for me because otherwise I'm going to forget. So, and once we get past that apprehension and they know that I'm here to help them every step of the way, it goes pretty well.
Oh, that makes sense. And it's really great to have industry partners who are offering products like Cloud for academics to partner with. It's so important. So important. What advice would you give students or young designers who are out there either getting ready to enter the industry or in the industry?
This goes back to understanding all the tools. But I think in this case, maybe we turn it the other way. Young designers nowadays, they all work on computers, right? They are born with a computer or an iPad in their hands. But go back and understand the what we would refer to as the old school ways. You know, put a pencil to paper, cut a pattern, understand, reverse engineer a garment in real life, and then use them all. Put them all in your toolbox, okay? You have tried all the tools. That, to me, is the most important thing. Because when it comes down to it, let's suppose you have you don't have technology. Your power goes out or something, or you don't have a Wi-Fi, you don't have your computer, sketch in a sketchbook to get an idea out. Those type of things don't ever go out of style, because I always believe it starts with pencil and paper, okay? I don't think it's the only way, but I think it starts there. And so you can't really succeed without having a full understanding of all the tools. And for new designers, it's not surprising that they know how to use Photoshop and Illustrator, and maybe they use Clo, and that's great. But I would think nowadays, coming out of school and being able to say, hey, I can draw a fashion flat by hand, I can draw it by Illustrator, I can do a fashion sketch in watercolor or markers, people would look at that and go, that's pretty cool that they know all of these things. This person is serious. And like anything else, you're learning something new, which is never a bad thing.
I so appreciate that, because that really aligns with what my philosophy has always been developing fashion curriculum, is that you teach it both the manual by hand, analog, whatever you want to call it, method, but also the digital. I've been an early adopter of technology my whole life, but having that understanding too is really important.
You know, and I think that those manual techniques, again, if you know how to cut a pattern, you can be successful in Clo. If you know how to draw a flat in Illustrator, you can draw a pattern in Clo using a similar tool. So if you can draw a sketch of a pattern on a piece of paper, you can put that in Clo and trace it and get a pattern. It all relates. The best tool for the best solution.
And unfortunately, if technology isn't available or fails, you can still go ahead and move forward and get something back.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I know.
Not the creative of technology.
Many of my colleagues here go home on weekends and Monday, what'd you do? Oh, well, I worked on a drawing. I worked on a sketch. And oh, I made a dress, repurposed some fat. So that's our escape, is to go back to the tools that we remember that we started with. But it all helps as a whole. I think as a creative, you're constantly taking from the world around you. And I think that a good designer does that and learns from, you know, oh, that's a terrible font in that sign. Why did they, you know, this is me and my wife walking down the street, right? Oh, those fonts, there's too many. And she's, what are you doing? I'm like, I can't help it. This is what I do. But I think it's a point of view. It's a overall mindset. So don't be afraid to learn. Don't be afraid to find a new tool and give it a try and adapt it into your workflow. And Clo, we think, is the best tool for the garment designer.
Well, and I also want to get your views and perception on AI. We've touched on it some in automation, and said that there's some things that are going to come forward, and so we'll have to have you back to talk about that. But what do you see about AI and automation? I've been spending a lot of time learning about automation and trying to automate processes for innovation insights.
Yeah. I have tried, as I said, I am a painter, okay? So I often use some sort of image that I have either taken or found as a point of reference. So I thought, oh, I'll try AI, generate an image of what I'm looking for. Okay. I understand the process and I have tried a number of times. I think I'm hindered by, I have a very specific vision of what I'm looking for, and what I get from AI never really matches what I'm wanting out of it. So not to say that it doesn't work, but I personally feel like it's not giving me the vision that I'm hunting for. Yes, you have to be very good at understanding the prompts that you put in there, especially for images. You have to be very specific. As an artist, my whole life, I would just find it easier to find three pictures and do a sketch and combine those pictures. So I think you have to use AI the way, again, it's a tool. How can it work for you? At what point? So, you know, sometimes if I'm writing something, we actually have, Clo has its own AI that we use internally so that if we're writing something at length and want to put in some bullet points about it, it will generate some copy so that we can do that. Sometimes I use that and I go, oh, that's a good start. And then I'll edit it. But I'm so specific and have been so specific about every aspect of my creativity for so long, it just doesn't meet what I'm looking for. And I think anybody that can use it and be happy with it, I'm very happy for you.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's, as my father used to say, it's why they make vanilla and chocolate. So you can choose or not. And I think that the things that are coming with Clo, people will be really excited about, because it's going to give them the ability to build upon their own vision and be able to, as we say, do the repetitive tasks so that they don't have to do them themselves.
Cool. Very, very cool. Very cool. I remember I was teaching a computer-aided pattern making class years ago. I mean, this is at another university, and I had a student that asked me, oh, can I just describe the garment that I want to be made and just enter it into the system and a pattern can be made for it? And I laughed. I was not a futurist at that point at all. I was like, well,
that's ridiculous.
I really need to get better making and the, you know, pimping your darts within this program. And so I laugh, but I think we're here.
Yeah. Well, and that type of thing is a good thing. And so let's suppose that happens and it generates patterns and you can put it on your avatar and see how it looks. You still got to understand how it fits. Does it fit correctly? Is it actually fitting the avatar? Does it need darts? Does it need editing? Is the sleeve hole large enough? So there is still going to be some knowledge about how a garment fits to ensure that what you're doing is actually correct.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That basic fundamental knowledge. Oh my goodness. Well, what are some emerging trends that you see that could be coming forward in digital fashion and that you're excited about?
Obviously, everyone wants to know about AI and if it's going to help them. And we've discussed that at length. The other thing that I think is interesting is that this concept of 3D in and of itself is becoming more and more accepted because people are starting to see how it helps. As is with fashion, we know technology can be something that they can be very resistant to. But I think we frame it, Clo 3D as a company, frame it more, it's not so much about the fact that it's computer software. It's a solution to help with the workflow. And there's more benefits than just the simplicity of the software. So those two things are what everyone is talking about. Again, mostly AI. And because our users are talking about it, we're looking at it. We are a user driven company because that's how we got our start. So we make sure to listen to those people. And I think that also what is happening is that it's into more creative designs because you can design whatever you want, right? Because you don't have to worry about buying fabric or pattern paper or anything like that. And it's also, our hope is that it leads to a world where there's no sizes, right? You have your own avatar, you shop at a store, you put the garment on your avatar to see how it fits. They either send you the exact size that works or they make the garment for you. There's less waste. The customer is happy. There's less returns. And people are starting to see this, that this is possible, which is one of clothes' things that they're working towards. And again, it affects the whole thing. Sustainability is one of those trends. That's not really a trend though, right? Everyone's talking about it, but it should be something that we're all looking at. AI being the biggest, so we have to have a stance on it and we have to give the people what they want, right? So we're going to do our best to meld the two worlds, where it is now and where it's going. We're trying to innovate, right?
I love it. I love it. That brings us to a question that I wrap up every podcast with is, how do you define innovation?
How do you define innovation? Innovation to me is more about the person than about some sort of new technology or tool. I think if you're willing to have an open mind and explore all avenues to ensure that you get the result that you want, I think that you are the driver of the innovation.
I love that definition. I love that definition. Yeah. It puts you right in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Jim, thank you for being here. This was just delightful. And very insightful.
Thank you for having me. I hope that this inspires anybody in any way to go the next step in whatever they're trying to create. And I look forward to whatever comes in our future. I call you not only a colleague, but I think a friend. And I'm hoping that we can do lots of work together in the future.
Oh, absolutely. I love technology. I love industry. I love all of this. And I'm so excited and I look forward to featuring what you all are doing on in the future. And so thank you for being here and helping lead the way in 3D fashion technology and showcasing the power of adaptability, creativity, and lifelong learning.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
If today's conversation sparked your interest and you want to learn more about Jim and his work, connect with him on LinkedIn at Jim Simon Clo 3D or on TikTok at Clo Professor Jim. And also you can learn more about Clo 3D at clo3d.com. We'll also have all this information in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and comment on the podcast. It helps us to continue to bring these exciting and impactful conversations to you. Stay connected with us on all of our social media platforms or visit our website for more resources, upcoming episodes, and to stay engaged. Thank you for tuning in. And as I always say, keep innovating, keep dreaming, and keep making a difference.